Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty. Yes, the Lord our God, He's omnipotent. The Lord our God, He is wonderful. Everybody sing to Him.
Hallelujah.
Salvation and glory belong to Him.
Salvation and glory.
Honor and power to the Lord our God. For the Lord our God. Yes, the Lord our God. Say the Lord our God. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. All praises to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to Jesus. The Lord our God.
Our God.
He's wonderful.
He's wonderful.
Oh, praise
Him.
Father, we bless Your name today. Give Your glory in the sanctuary.
First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is October the 5th, 2021, and you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. We have taken a break from our usual Bible study tonight to bring a topical discussion. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. We are now having in-person service. If you would like to come and worship with us, you can do so each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can come and worship with us in person. Also, you can watch the Sunday morning service live on Facebook. Go to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. we go live. You can see our Sunday morning service there. Also, you'll find more information about First Baptist of Holly Springs. You'll find articles and various sermons that we have preached. Also, you'll find information about the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina and the Wake Baptist Association. So we invite you to go to the Facebook page and be a part of the First Baptist of Holly Springs community. Don't forget, our services start each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. If you would like to come in person or if you would like to watch on Facebook, you may certainly do so. There are three ways to give to the house of God. You can come by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30. Trustees are there to take care of your financial needs. You can mail your contributions or your tithes into the church. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. You can also use the Cash App. We do have a Cash App. It starts with the dollar sign and the letters FBCHS. FBCHS, that stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can use the Cash App. And you can be a supporter of the house of God tonight. As I said before, we thank God for all of you who are on the line. Some of you are on the line. Some of you are listening over the internet. And some will hear this program long after it has been recorded. As I said earlier, we are departing from our normal scriptorial Bible study tonight to bring forth a topical discussion. It is my contention that as Christians and as a community, we cannot ignore the fact that we live in troubled times. We cannot go into the house of God and just feel good about that. When we come back into our communities, we find the same condition that we left. And so I think it's very important that we take some time from time to time to bring forth these topical discussions, to hear what others have to say. Maybe you have an opinion tonight. I'm going to open the lines a little early tonight just in case you would like to have an opinion, because there are some things that are going on in our community, and we need to talk about these things. Not only do we need to talk about them, we need to find the resources so we can find some solutions to the problems that we face in our community. We need to go into deep into the heart of what is wrong with our people. Because God told us to be ever mindful of those who are going through. And we must always do that. So particularly here in the state of North Carolina, we do have two main plagues that are hindering our communities. First is gun violence, and the second is missing persons. So tonight, I'm going to go into a little introduction to the topical discussion, and then I'm going to open the lines to see if there are those of you who have ideas or would like to add to the conversation about these two main things that are plaguing our community. One of the things we must always remember is that nothing will change unless we change it. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen by the process of osmosis. The communities that we live in must be dealt with and understood by the people of God. And perhaps we can influence others to do the same. First of all, there has been a lot of gun violence. If you look in the news every day, we hear a lot of gun violence. It seems like gun violence is everywhere. Everybody wants to use a gun. On average, there are one shooting every 5 hours or one incident every 4 hours and 48 minutes, according to the data in North Carolina, registered August 26, 2001. The numbers across the state are staggering. Since Memorial Day, just past Memorial Day, at least 420 people were shot. 184 people were killed. 305 people were injured, according to the Gun Violence Archive, analyzed by ABC Channel 11 iTeam. The 420 incidents mean that there has been an average of 5 such shootings daily, or one incident every 4 hours and every 48 minutes. The statistics show that Sunday was the most common day of the week for gun violence. 67 incidents happened on Sundays, followed closely by Saturday, 65 incidents. The most violent day was Sunday, June the 27th, where 14 victims of 8 incidents were killed. Monday, June the 14th, had the most number of incidences this year, 11. Someone said, the Attorney General Josh Stern, "I think it's an outgrowth of COVID-19, he explained to the ABC 11 reporter. COVID leads means isolation, and it means depression. It means job loss and anxiety. These are some of the functions of our social problem in our society today. We see people who are disconnected from their normal lives." But gun violence can't just be that. It must be something else that's going on in North Carolina. Shootings occur every 5 hours this summer in North Carolina. On the average, there's one shooting every 5 hours, or one incident every 4 hours and 48 minutes. What is going on? Why is it that everybody's picking up guns now? Why is it that gun violence is such a prolific thing in our society today? On the average, there's a shooting every 5 hours. Can you think about that? Now, this comes from the Gun Violence Archive of North Carolina. I was reading the article the other day. One bullet is all it takes to cause irreparable harm. You not only affect the family, but the shooter. Their family has to deal with what that person did. A grieving aunt by the name of Michelle Dunham, whose nephew was shot and killed in Raleigh just this past week or so, lamented to ABC News, "Why is it that first thing someone thinks about is picking up a gun to resolve their issues? It's amazing to see how much is going on with gun violence in the state." And I want you to know that when you go and look at, if you ever go to a gun shop, we're going to talk about this just a little bit more. If you go to a gun shop and you look at guns, if you just go shop, go look to see what type of guns they have, you'll notice that guns, particularly those guns that you used to call those automatic weapons, those guns cost a lot of money. So why how did our streets get flooded with guns? Who is allowing and supplying all of these guns on the street? You got people who can't even pay rent, but they can buy guns. Something is wrong here. We have to do something to interrupt this violence. This means supporting programs that are evidence-based and proven to help communities to break this cycle of violence in our communities. Gun violence is a public health epidemic that ravishes communities and families across the state of North Carolina and indeed the whole country. The United States has by far the highest firearm death rate of all civilized countries. The 2015 U.S. firearm mortality rate was over 11 times higher than any high-income country in the world. Simply put, no other high-income high-income country in the world allow its citizens to die by guns the way we do here in the United States? In 2018, firearm deaths in the United States reached their second highest level in 40 years. 37,740 people were killed by gun violence. That's 108 individuals per day between 2008 and 2018. The rate of firearm mortality in the United States increased over 16%. North Carolina is no exception, with a firearm rate above the national average for 2008 and 2018. What is going on with this gun violence? What has happened to our people that we suddenly have to pick up? Are we going back to the Wild West days? Where you say, meet me at noon, and we get out in the street and have duels? Is that what we're coming to? Are we going back to the John Wayne era? Are we going back to the shoot 'em up era? What is going on with guns now? And so many guns on the street. I want to talk about that tonight. And perhaps you may have some ideas or something that you may add to this gun violence thing. Because gun violence has just gotten out of control. When we look at those big cities like New York and Chicago, and we hear those large number of people, week before last, 40 people got killed in Chicago. That's off the chain, beloved. That's just ridiculous. What is going on? I want to hear what you have to say about it. And then the second topic I want to talk about tonight, each year, more than 10,000 people are reported missing in North Carolina. This is according to the North Carolina Center for Missing Persons. The problem of non-custodial abductions, runaways, stranger abductions, missing adults, racial problems, economic boundaries, all of these are reasons for disappearance and include problems at the home, mental issues, snags with the law, or just a taste of adventure. Most eventually, a lot of these missing persons are runaways, and sooner or later, they will return home. But then what about those that are not? What about those who simply went to the store one day and never came home? What about these missing children that we have? With the recent search for the young lady that died, Gabby Petito, I think I'm pronouncing that name right. It seems like there's been a new interest in finding those who have been missing. And so there's many reasons for this, but we have a lot of people missing right here in the state of North Carolina. North Carolina is the 34th highest number of missing persons per capita. That's according to the North Carolina Center for Missing Persons. I also left a link. If you're looking at this on our Facebook page, you'll also see a link that I left for the North Carolina Missing Directory. You can go there and you can look for people who are missing, or if you know someone who is missing, you can see if their name is there. But North Carolina is 34th highest number of missing people per capita. Missing persons, unidentified persons. We need to find out what's going on with these people. North Carolina has 327 total missing people right now. That's about 3.2 missing people per 100 residents. And while even one missing person is too many, that number pales in comparison to some other states like Alaska, who have 41.8 people missing per year right now. In Charlotte, thousands of people are reported missing every year. And what people don't know is there is no such thing as a waiting period to report missing people. Sometimes we hear something about a 24-hour waiting period or a 72-hour waiting period, but that's not true. When you find out that somebody is missing, the fact is the sooner you report it, the sooner you can work to help locate that missing person. Very few missing people are the victims of foul play. Some just go out on their own. But what about all of these people who are missing? What's going on? What's going on with missing people in the state of North Carolina? All these missing children. There are many reasons why, and we want to talk about some of those tonight. I don't know if you know of anyone who's been missing or if you ever had those Amber Alerts to come on your phone. I've had one just this past week, get those Amber Alerts where someone has abducted a child or have taken a child and gone somewhere with them. You know, what is going on here with these missing people? We have a lot of people just simply disappeared out of in thin air, and you can't find them anywhere. Like I say, some of them are runaways. Some do come back home. Some they find lifeless somewhere. But that's a lot of missing people, beloved. And as a people in a community, we should be concerned about that. There should be, this board tonight should be lit up with people who are concerned about the missing and who are concerned about gun violence. And when we don't show up, when we don't speak on those things, we do not have these conversations, then you cannot rightfully sit back and judge and say, that's a shame. So-and-so ought not to do that. When you have been called to make a difference where you are. And if you can't do that, all you can do is complain, then you are part of the problem. I want to go to the lines tonight because there may be some who have some information or may want to share some information that they have. But these are the two topics. You can speak on any of them, whichever topic you want to speak on. I'm not going to ask you any questions. If you have a topic that you would like to speak about other than these two topics, that's fine. But I'm going to open the line tonight because I want to hear what some of you have to say concerning these two topics that are plaguing our community, that are ravishing our community, that are taking lives, that are just taking lives. So what is it that you think is going on? I'm going to go to area code 919, last four digits, 1694. 1694, are you on the line tonight?
Yes, good evening, Pastor Rogers. This is Deacon Taylor. You have a plethora of information that we could all discuss tonight. First of all, thank God for a table that we can have this discussion. You said you're getting away from the traditional script here, but the main thing about these topics and this conversation is compassion. And when Christ looked around, he saw a lot of things that needed to be done, a lot of people that were sick, a lot of people that needed something. And that's one of the reasons why he came to this earth, to give us life and life more abundantly. But I thank you for opening up this floor for discussion. Real quick, the main thing is people don't look out for each other, not as closely, no more, like, you know, in past generations or past years. That's one reason why, you know, somebody can get missing so quickly. You know, we say our children are old enough and big enough to do things by themselves before they actually are. And knowing that, you know, if you're like, you know, 50 or whatever, 50 and up or whatever, you wasn't raised like that. You didn't go anywhere. I remember 1981, 1982, the summer of like the alleged Wayne Williams abductions, murders, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My mama didn't let us go outside all summer. That was like the worst summer ever. But right now, I am blessed tonight to be at my mother's home, listening to this Bible study with her, and I'm thankful for that. Number two, the television. You know, people think they can pick up a gun without no repercussions. They don't understand that it's going to affect them. It's going to affect the person that was shot, their family. You know, and you know, in television, you know, you really see all the, you know, the. Hey, you're going to be in court. You're going to be in jail until your court date for 2 or 3 years, and then you might get life. You know, so There's no training with the guns. There's supervision has gone to the wayside. That's just a couple of things I can put out there, but I like to definitely like to hear from other people also.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so very much. You're absolutely right. The structure is gone. The structure that we had coming up, you don't find that type of structure in the home anymore. And because of that structure missing in the home, then, of course, a lot of things are missing. And one of those things, as you said before, is an understanding and a preservation for life and knowing who you are and being happy in who you are. And thank God for that. I thank God for the fact that I was raised the same way. That I remember, and I know Deacon Taylor, you probably can relate to this. I remember when men used to fight it out with your fists, you know, and of course, you know, somebody would win, somebody would lose. Sometimes you get whooped, sometimes you give a whooping, but you live the next day. You know, you could nine times out of ten, the two people became some type of friends along the way. But it seems today, particularly in young black men, they have lost their ability to defend themselves other than using a pistol. They don't know how to converse. They don't know how to speak. They don't know how to give a credible argument or how to stand on a word without using some type of weapon. And I think the media plays a lot in that as well. You talked about television. The media plays a lot in that as well. And I'm going to come back to you with another question in just a few minutes. Let's go to area code 910, last four digits, 5088. 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor. How you doing?
How are you tonight?
Fine. Fine, and you?
Doing good. Doing good. What do you think about these two topics?
I think both of them are maybe dealing with money on as far as the missing people. I think some of them are being trafficked. That's getting to be a major problem in different states. And also guns is, I think that's most, some of that is dealing with money.
Explain what you mean. What do you mean by that?
Because the sales are high on guns. They're trying to, they say that they have the right to bear arms, and they're tapping in on that. And also, they can buy them on the street corners. They can buy them in different states. You can buy them on the street corners. You have to go in and, if you have to go in and your background is not right, they won't buy it from there. They'll buy it on the streets. And so some of the people on the streets are getting large quantities of them and selling.
Absolutely.
So I think both of them have to do with money.
Okay.
In some cases. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Last night, a prayer vigil was held for a woman in Clayton, North Carolina, who was allegedly killed by her granddaughter. Did you hear about this? The Clayton Police Department said that this woman, Camille Singleton, the killer, killed her grandmother, Anita Gaither, and took the little boy that she was keeping and went to Georgia. And that's where they found her, somewhere down in Georgia. She killed her grandmother and took the child and went to Georgia with him. Now, what is that? What would cause someone to kill their grandmother? I mean, come on. What could grandma possibly do to warrant something like that?
My aunt was telling me something about that, but I hadn't seen the full story on it, but Georgia was one of the states that has a large number of traffickers. I don't know if that's why she took the child to Georgia. I don't know if she was from Georgia or what, but that was one state because I heard a couple of preachers talking about and praying about the situation as far as different ways to keep an eye on their children and protect their children, because the smaller children and the larger children, you know, the older children were getting trafficking. They just didn't miss
it. Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't know
yeah,
if that was her situation.
Right, right, right. That could be one of the main reason for a lot of children to be abducted, but there is a large market of child trafficking in America, and a lot of those kids are sent overseas because a lot of that a lot of the clientele for that are people who live overseas. There's some that live in America as well, but a lot of people know that if you ever get caught in America with that, you will never get out of jail. So a lot of that stuff is done overseas.
I didn't know what you were saying. I had never heard that it wasn't a waiting period, because I was just looking at it on TV. And most time when you hear it on TV and the people go report somebody, it's you have to wait so many hours, 24 hours, this and that, that. And that just shows, you know, you can't believe everything you hear on TV.
Right, right.
But that's all I've ever heard. There's a waiting period before you can report the person.
Thanks for that information.
Because I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can report someone missing as soon as you realize they're missing, and the sooner the better, because it gives the police an opportunity to get out there and find them. But you touched on something that's very important. You know, human trafficking involves the use of force, fraud, coercion to obtain some type of labor or commercial sex act. Every year, millions of men, women, and children are trafficked worldwide, including right here in the United States. It can happen in any community, and any person can be a victim of any age, any race, any gender. Trafficking uses violence and manipulation and false promises like well-paying jobs or a lot of money in order to get those people to come and go with them. So that is one of the reasons why so many people are missing, is because of the huge amount of money. And you said money, and that's in both cases. There's a lot of money in trafficking as well, and there's a lot of money in guns. I don't know the number, but I remember a few years ago when I was looking at this, I found out that the gun manufacturers, and most of them are here in the United States, the gun manufacturers, about Smith & Wesson, I'm talking about Colt 45, I'm talking about the ones that make the Glock, AK-47s, all of those rapid-fire guns are made right here in America. And I read somewhere where over $9 billion a year is made off of weapons in this country. They ain't going to never stop doing that. As long as you can make that kind of money, they ain't going to never stop making that. They ain't going to never stop doing that. I mean, they're not going to give up $9 billion industry just to keep people safe. So that's amazing that we have this going on in our community. I want to go back to Deacon Taylor. We were talking earlier about gun violence. Now, I don't want to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, and perhaps someone else may have something they might want to say about this as well. But 20 years ago, or maybe 25 years ago, there was a great influence on our young people called gangster rap. Now, I'm not a person who's against any type of music in particular, but in this particular case, I saw a change in our society. I saw a change in our young people. I saw something that I had never seen before. I saw a violent streak that came out of them. What do you think about what happened 20, 25 years ago when gangster rap was introduced to the American public, particularly our young people?
Yes, sir. I just turned 50, so I'm definitely in that era. So what was happening was a lot of that came from the West Coast, and they used that rap as one way of venting They had a platform. Someone, you know, let them have that platform to, you know, put their thoughts into lyrics, and that's how hard it came out. At that time, we were not experiencing that type of police violence on the East Coast, and then that music, you know, words travel faster than anything else. So that those lyrics, those words traveled over here to the East Coast, and I'm not saying the police violence wasn't already going on. It just wasn't as prevalent as it was in the West Coast, and it took off like wildfire for one reason or another. That's basically all I can say to that, Pastor. It did make a lot of people make their heart or their minds harden or more one peripheral, or actually tunnel. It gave a lot of tunnel vision with their thoughts instead of, you know, being open-minded or having peripheral looking at the big picture.
Yeah, absolutely. It influenced a lot of young people to want to pick up guns as well, because a lot of the lyrics in those songs were very violent lyrics, and they encouraged young people to pick up weapons. Now, you've got to remember, I think a lot of people don't understand that the gang culture out west is real. That's no joke. It's not a movie. It's not Boys in the Hood. It's not those movies that you see in Hollywood. The gang culture in out west is real. You know, you got four and five generations of people who are in gangs. You know, granddaddy was in the gang. Daddy was in the gang. Uncle, aunts and uncles, mama, daddy, everybody, sisters and brothers, everybody is in the gang. That's a culture that they have out there in California that we don't know anything about here on the East Coast. We had gangs, of course, on the East Coast, but it wasn't incorporated like they have out on the West Coast. And when they Correct. Brought that concept to the majority of young people, a lot of young people got hurt trying to be gangsters, not knowing
yes,
that
sir.
They're not real gangsters. You know, mm-hmm. you want to be, they wanted to be gangsters until they ran up into a real gangster, you know. And mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened, particularly with those two young men that were so tragically killed. I'm talking about Tupac Shakur and Biggie Small. Both of those
yes,
men ran up from the East Coast, and they went out west, and they did not realize the depth of that gang violence that was out there. It was real. It's not. It's no joke. It's not a movie. And a lot of people don't understand that. They go out there thinking that they can deal with that or they can be a part of that, and they simply get hurt because they don't come from out there. They don't know those people out there. Those people don't know them.
Pastor Rogers.
You know. Uh-huh.
Pastor Rogers. I like to speak on that. I like to speak on that real quick.
Go right ahead.
I was in the U.S. Navy, and I was stationed in San Diego, California. And at that time, I just went to the mall, and I purchased some clothing, and I went back out into the neighborhood, maybe the next week or so, and I had a pair of red, what we call nylon sweatpants, and I had a black Raiders shirt, and I had a black Raiders cap, because that was like the cool thing to wear at that time.
Right.
And I was actually wearing blood colors, but on the other side of the naval base, I went to a basketball game at a local junior college, and that was a Crip area. I did not know until the day that I went in to watch this basketball game, and these guys came and surrounded me. And they had a vernacular I wasn't really familiar with, but it was an intuition telling me I needed to get up and go. And I know it was God that sent a teacher or some faculty member to talk with those young men for a moment. And while that person was doing that, I quickly exited the building because it was about seven or eight of them, and I was by myself. And it could have been very ugly if I had stayed there.
Yeah, buddy.
Yes, sir.
You get ready to get jumped.
Just because of the colors that I was wearing. See, a lot of people don't even know it's that deep.
That's right.
It's really that deep.
Yeah, and if you don't know that, and you go out there playing with that, or you go around playing with that, not even thinking what you're doing, you know, you get hurt like that. And a lot of people
yes,
don't
sir.
Know that. But I just wanted to bring it up for a minute because I thought that that culture, when it was brought on a worldwide basis, on a national basis, it really exploded with gun violence because of the lyrics that they were talking about, the videos. You remember all those videos they used to do? And just about in every video, there was a gun in every video, you know. And so young people sitting at home looking at TV, eating cereal, thinking they can do that, you know, and they go out and they try to do that, and they get themselves in serious trouble. And that's how a lot of young people have gotten killed over the years, trying to pretend to be something that they're not. Just this past week in Winston-Salem, a North Carolina police officer confiscated a handgun from a student's handbag at a magnet school. This is the fifth gun they've gotten from a kid in that school. It's the Forsyth County. It's one of those Forsyth County schools. The school is called Presley IB Magnet School in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. This is the fifth gun that they have taken from a student this year in that school. I mean, you know, I remember, I know people who own weapons. And everybody who owns a weapon that I know lock their weapons up. Why is it that these kids are able to just go? Are people just laying guns around the house? I mean, I've never known anyone to do that. Everybody I know who owns a weapon, you got to go through locks to get to that weapon. You just can't walk in and pick up a weapon. You know, when is it going? What's going on in our homes that young people, you know, in school can just go into the house, get a gun, come back to school, and perhaps hurt a lot of people? Something is going on here, and I think a lot of that has to do with the lackadaisicalness of our parents when it comes down to having some type of structure for our children. I want to go to another call I have here. Someone else
might want to speak on.
Go right ahead.
This is Mother Taylor.
Go right ahead.
How y'all doing?
Doing fine.
Pastor Rogers, this conversation could go for three or four studies because we got to go back a long ways on this. You were saying, how can a child walk in a house and just pick up a gun?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Rogers, could anybody pick up a gun in your house when you was a young child, 10, 11, 12?
No, ma'am.
Couldn't do it. Could not do it. This conversation will stay here and we could run through it forever until we get to the part that the parents, the neighborhood, the cousins, we're not that family no more.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't walk in my daddy's house and stand in there and put a gun in your hand.
That's right.
You couldn't walk outdoors want to fight somebody with a knife in your hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
This conversation will keep running because it's so many turns that we don't know about because it's the parents. It's the babies having babies, and they're not being trained behind a – they're not being trained like you was training, like I'm trained.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, Deacon Taylor sitting here tonight, but guess what? Deacon Taylor was dare not say nothing ugly in my face.
Mm-hmm.
I beat him then, and I'll beat him now. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I put him out of my house because he was like, Mama, you ought not do this, and Mama, you ought to get out.
I knew that's right.
I pay the bills here. You ain't going to tell me what to do.
Yeah. Do you think because the parents have not been trained, they can't train their children? Is that what you're saying?
Thank you. Okay. How can my baby be trained having a baby?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Thank God for the children. But how can a baby be trained having a baby? Back in our day, let's be honest. If a girl got pregnant, you didn't see her for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
These girls having babies, go out to the schoolhouse, have a baby one day, and walk the street the next day. My mama didn't let me out of life for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When I came out of the room, I was just about blind.
Wow. Somebody else want to say something? Go right here.
Pastor Roger, this is Brother Jordan.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Jordan?
All right. I agree wholeheartedly with Mother Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
In the 70s, when I was in high school, 72% of families would be considered nuclear families. A nuclear family is a family with a mama and a daddy and the children.
Oh,
there is a movement in this country that is out to totally destroy, and they don't mind telling you, what we call the nuclear family. And that movement has had more effect on the black community than any other community in the country. And that's why you see our children end up doing the things that they are doing. They don't have the kind of role models Mother Taylor said, which sounded somewhat like the upbringing in my family is. We did not do just the grand. My daddy had plenty of guns. We wouldn't dare go near them because we knew there were consequences. And what we have now is a movement in this country to destroy the nuclear family. There is a movement to say that you don't have to have a man and a woman and children to raise a family in a house.
Mm.
That has a negative effect on us as black people. It has a negative effect on everybody, but it affects us more than anybody else. And that is why you see our children in the predicament that the last two generations, I taught school 44 years, the last two generations have no idea about discipline. Not all of them.
Amen.
Most of them have no idea about discipline, respect for authority, respect for themselves, respect for their elders. And as a result, you can't have a community that survives in that type of environment. And we are almost seeing what we call the total destruction of our community because we have allowed other people to dictate us, to tell us how to raise our children.
Amen.
We didn't do that. For 400 years, we survived. But we survived because we had parenting, and we listened to that parenting. But when we integrated, we decided that we would raise our children like some other people in this country, and that's how they got away from us.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. It is a shame because the numbers are just staggering. When you look at the number of gun violence, particularly here in North Carolina, the number is just staggering. I mean, it's just off the chain. I don't understand what it is that's causing so much. And I don't know what we can do about it other than just keep having discussions like this. Mother Taylor brought up an excellent point. We have parents who are not trained, so they cannot train their children. So I guess we have to start with the young people and try to train them as they grow up. And then perhaps when they have children, they can train their children. I think one or two generations have already gone through. There's nothing we can do about that. But we're going to have to take our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and try to educate them at an early age so that when they get older, they will have they're more prepared than their parents were to teach their children about these things that are going on in our society. Because nobody is safe here. The National Crime Center says that nobody is safe. Anybody can be a victim of gun violence. There are a lot of people who are just getting shot, just innocent bystanders, you know, not doing anything wrong, They're just innocent. They happen to go to a party one night, or they go to a football game. Somebody got shot at a football game a couple of weeks ago here in Durham, at a North Carolina Central football game. And you could just be doing harmless things that young people do, or that people in general do. You could be going to the mall or going to Walmart. And anybody can be a victim of gun violence. And we're at that point right now where it's just ridiculous that we live in a society like that.
Pastor,
just ridiculous.
Can I say one thing?
Go right ahead.
One of the problems we have is, as Mother Taylor said, talking about her son, there were consequences for misbehavior. What we see now is a media that looks the other way whenever things go wrong in our neighborhood, especially the black neighborhood. And you don't see in the media all the news about what's happening in our community. Nobody talks about Chicago, maybe one or two stations like that. But the media is one of the things that is most detrimental to us as a race of people when it comes to raising our children, because they make us believe that our children can do almost anything, and they go to jail. They don't get no punishment. In our day, if you did something wrong, you got punished, either at school or you got it at home or you got both of them. But now you can't do that. There is no punishment anywhere, at school, at home, any place. So children feel free to do whatever they want to do.
Amen to that. Amen. Amen. On the other subject, I got another thing I want to bring up just quickly. This is going to be kind of morbid. It's going to be kind of morbid. But when we talk about missing persons, I want you to know that a lot of people are missing because of body parts. There are people who are very wealthy who need a kidney or need a heart, and perhaps they're way down on the list. And some people are being missing or being killed to get body parts. I know it sounds gruesome. I know it sounds bad, but that's a fact, beloved. There is a market for body parts. And if we would never know until people get caught. But when we see people who are missing, don't think all of those folk are missing on their own. Don't think all of those folk who just went to the store and never came back home are just missing on their own. There are a lot of people who are missing who foul play has taken over. And people who found themselves for whatever reason in the wrong place at the wrong time. So there are places that we can go and we can get information. The North Carolina Department of Missing Persons has a listing of missing people. We got a lot of 327 missing children and people right now in the state of North Carolina. If your phone did not go off in the last two or three days, you maybe don't have that type of app on your phone. But my phone goes off at least twice a week about a missing child or an abducted child. So we got to be cognizant and teach our children, while we're teaching them about gun violence, we also need to teach them to be aware of their surroundings. Don't take rides from strangers. Don't join the group all the time. You know, sometimes it's good to just, you know, be objective. Stand back and watch folk, you know, because a lot of our young people are coerced to go with folk who they don't even know, and they never be heard of again. So these are the types of things that I wanted to talk about tonight, because they are something that plague our community. And I thank all of you for being a part of this discussion tonight. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to add?
And you can add sex trafficking to that, Pastor.
Yes,
young people being sex trafficking too. There was a young girl last week in Raleigh that was going to school, and a man tried to kidnap her on the street. She got out of a van and tried to kidnap her. The little girl ran to school, and fortunately, she was safe. But she was just walking to school, and the man tried to kidnap her.
I saw that. Yeah. That happens more often than we think.
Yes.
It does. It happens a lot more often than we actually think it does. A lot of people are just snatched off the street, children especially, because you can pick a child up. You can just grab a child and pick them up. So a lot of people are just snatched right off the street. We have to be cognizant and we have to be careful as we go forward. And we just pray that people are beginning to understand what's going on in our society with this gun violence. We pray that parents will wake up and begin to teach their children the proper conduct in school and in the street, and let them know that they are somebody. You don't have to have a gun to be a man or have a gun to be a woman. You can be somebody without the help of a killing machine. We have to teach our children that, as well as teach them to watch and be very careful where they go. We will have another discussion pretty soon. We will continue these discussions as we go along this year. But I wanted to pause for my regular scriptural Bible study tonight. We do so every now and then. I think the last one we did was the church and the vaccine. And before that, I think we did one called the church and COVID-19. Those were the things that were in. And I think we also did one on George Floyd as well. when that verdict came through. So we will pause from time to time from our Bible study to have these topical discussions, because I think it's very important for us as Christians, as a church, and as a community to speak out loud these things that are plaguing our society and our community. That's the only way we're going to make any kind of headway in dealing with the problems that we have tonight. Deacon Taylor, would you pray for us tonight?
Heavenly Father, we come to you as humble as we know how, giving you thanks and praise for everything you have done, what you're doing right now, Father, and what you're going to do, Lord. We ask that you touch each and every situation that was spoke about, that was prayed about, that was intensely talked about tonight, Father. We need your help, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We have answers. I mean, we have questions, Lord, and we know that you have the answer.
Yes.
Lord, please keep it on our hearts and minds to have compassion for our neighbor, our brothers and our sisters,
Jesus. Even
strangers, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
So some of these questions might be answered.
Yes.
So there may be supervision put back in place. So there may be adults training younger people put back in place.
Yes.
So that we may have the rules and laws of old come back into this new day and time, Father,
Jesus. Because
we need it now more than ever before.
Yes, Lord.
So we thank you for the people who participated in this Bible study tonight, Father. Lord, we thank you and ask that you bless each and every one of them, Father. Lord, we ask that you not only bless us to talk about it here, but, Lord, let us act and go into our neighborhoods and look at the things that's what's going on, Lord,
Jesus. And
urge people, if they see something, to say something, Lord. Raise a flag so that some things can be caught, some things can be stopped. And this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. Thank you so very much, Deacon Taylor. Thank you so much, Mother Taylor. Thank you, Brother Jonah. Deacon is Rainey. There were some others I did not quite get to tonight, a couple of others tonight, but I'm surprised that we don't have as many as we should have tonight, because this is a very important topic, and we won't continue.
Amen.
We won't stop talking about it. We're going to continue to talk about it, and hopefully some others will join us at a later time. Thank you all so very much. Don't forget to join us each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for the First Baptist of Holly Springs Sunday morning service. God bless you. Have a great, great week.
Good night.
Good night.
Well,
good night.
There was a woman in the Bible days. She had been sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by. So she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." She cried, "Oh, and oh, and oh, and oh." Said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." Money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said, "It was I who just wanna touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now." She stood there crying, "Oh, oh, 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 and oh, 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 and oh, oh, oh." Said, "If I could just touch the hem of your garment, I know I'll